All right, if you clicked on this episode, chances are you are trying to figure out how to get your first website up and running, or maybe even tweak an existing website. So I'm so happy today because we have a very special guest to talk about everything websites. I have been dying to hop into this topic because I made so many mistakes putting up my first website, and I want to help all of you guys avoid that so we can just go straight to the experts and ask for advice. So thank you so much, Jenny, for agreeing to be on the podcast. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you so much, Dariel. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell everybody a little bit about you. Give us a little synopsis of like your background and like how you got into web design work, and then we'll jump right into the conversation.
Sure. So I am Jenny Belanger. I'm a wife and mom to two kids and a dog, and I live in Massachusetts. And I own Jenny B Designs. We are a web design studio for female CEOs who are busy running their business, managing their teams, and are ready to scale. And I love to design strategic and beautiful websites that are designed to book more clients and make you more money. And my journey was, I started in the nonprofit marketing world, and I was there for about 15 years. And during that time, I learned how to do everything website, because obviously when you work in a nonprofit, you're kind of on a shoestring budget. So we kind of had to do everything ourselves. So that's where I learned to do website design and a lot of marketing. And when I decided to leave my position, when I had my son and start my own business, I realized really quickly that there is a lot of symmetry between the nonprofit world and entrepreneurs. We kind of have to do all the things ourselves. And I just really loved helping others shine online. And I started working with a lot of local businesses, some nonprofits, and then eventually it kind of shifted towards the female CEO, the female entrepreneur. And that's who I've been working with primarily for the past 4 years. And I just really love it, helping other women shine online to make sure that their online presence reflects them as a brand and makes them money.
I love that. Okay, so you started in the nonprofit world. It sounds like you didn't have much of a budget and you had to figure everything out. I feel like that resembles so many startup entrepreneurs with having a little bit of money and then you have to do all of the things. So what are some of the things that you want to make sure that you have ready before you begin building your website? Because it can be kind of tedious if you're looking for the things that you need as you're building. And I found that sometimes having a folder of the things that you already need prepared helps the process move a lot smoother. So what are you think are like our must-haves before we get started?
That's a great question. Two things that you're going to need. You're going to need the words that you kind of want to see on the website, and you're going to need imagery. Mm-hmm. So let's start with imagery. You know, a lot of times when we start out, we don't have like that big budget to get all these beautiful brand photos that we see everyone else having. So yeah. I always suggest maybe popping over to a stock website. I use Unsplash or Pexels. They're kind of a little less stocky, to grab some pictures that might mimic your brand. And then we all have these powerful cameras in our on our phones, and just maybe staging a couple of pictures of yourself in action. Because I think that having photos with you and your face smiling at your visitors makes such a large impact on your website. So collecting those for your images. And then as far as the words.
Love that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. As far as the words, the copy.
Yeah, and then the copy, you want to really kind of think about exactly who you are, what your business is, and who you're going to be serving. And then writing copy that speaks to your ideal client. And just kind of focusing in on who that person is, what they're struggling with right now, and how you can help them.
I love that because I feel like so many websites seem like really, really long resumes of the person who's providing the service and don't really speak directly to the potential client or the potential customer who is struggling, who is looking for your services. And so it's difficult to find websites that speak to you, that say, oh, I'm in the right place. This person can really support me, which is so important for service-based entrepreneurs.
Yeah, you hit it like the nail on the head about not making it just your resume and not including a lot of I language. You want to make sure that you're including you language and that you're speaking directly to your ideal client versus just a long page about what you can do. And I like to say, you know, make sure you don't have too many eyes on the page as you scroll through it.
I love that. Okay, so do you think that having a brand is the foundation before you build a website? Because I heard you mention the word brand earlier, and I feel like the brand can be a guide for what type of fonts to use, what type of colors to use, and that could potentially come up as you're building your first website. So do you think a brand is the foundation, or do you think you could start a website without a brand?
Yeah, absolutely. Your brand is the foundation for your website and beyond. It's how you represent yourself out in the world. So if you don't already have logo, colors, and fonts, then that's something that you definitely want to start with. And, you know, again, when we're starting out, we don't always have the budget to hire a brand designer. So I say, you know, it's okay to start with the logo that you design and start kind of picking out some colors and fonts that you enjoy, but just try to keep your ideal client in mind and to make it simple and clean. You know, less is more, is like I like to say, and that applies to both your brand and your website as you start building.
Okay. How do you feel about brand guides on Pinterest or purchasing like a done for you quick brand on like Etsy or creativemarket.com? Because I feel like that can be beneficial for people who may not be artsy or kind of crafty and may not feel comfortable creating their first logo, if they can buy something that's sort of like a stock image for your brand as like a jumping off point, it could potentially be helpful. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, those are great options. There are some designers on Etsy who you can share a little bit about what you do, and they will recommend, you know, this might be a good fit for you. So it's almost like a semi-custom brand that you start with, you know, and it happens to all of us. Like every few years, it's a good idea to relook at your brand. So find a place to start, you know, grow into it, and then you could always rebrand when the time comes. But I think those are great ideas. Pinterest as well. There are so many options out there. It's such a visual platform. It has a lot of great opportunities.
Okay, cool. So Jenny, we have our brand, we have our copy, we have our photos. We think that we're ready to build our website, but we run into this issue where there are so many platforms to choose from. So you could be on Square, you could be on WordPress, you could be on Wix. Like, what do you recommend as far as platforms, or at least some guiding tips on what to look for in a good website platform?
Sure. I always recommend use the platform that's going to work best for you, that you're actually going to use. You know, if you hear people saying WordPress is the best and, you know, you get the best bang for your buck and it's so good for SEO, but when you start to build a website on WordPress and it's difficult or you aren't enjoying it, you're not going to use it. You're not going to keep it updated. And so it's not going to be a good tool for you. When people start out, Squarespace is always a good option. So is Wix. I find it's very user-friendly. There are a lot of good templates. There's also another platform, Showit. That too is really great to design with. And they have a lot of great templates, especially for the creative entrepreneur. It's a very beautiful platform to use. And some of the templates are really, really lovely, but also easy to edit and put in your own content. So typically, I recommend Squarespace, Wix, or Showit for people who are starting out.
Okay. Are you familiar with Canva? Canva, like, released a website, like, sort of component to their already, like, robust design. And I was just wondering, like, if you had any experience or thoughts about Canva.com and their website feature.
Canva.com, the one thing they do have a really good, easy-to-use feature. The one thing that I want to say is when you have your own website, you want to make sure that you're using your own domain. And okay. In Canva, I think that they have, you know, when you're using the domain, it's not actually yours. So you're not building that kind of SEO credibility and that usability as well. So it's a good option if you have no other choice, or it's just for a landing. Maybe you have a sales course, but if you're going to build a full website, I always recommend using your own domain and then using a builder that will enable you to actually implement that own domain.
Okay. And for people who may be hearing the word domain for the first time, we are describing domain as like the URL or like the www.com. So www.beautifuldoulas.com is what we're talking about for the domain. Do you have any suggestions as far as like where people can purchase a domain? Any sort of favorites or cheap like websites where people can pick that up?
Yes, I love sending people to Namecheap. I think it's about $12 a year, and they have built-in privacy so that when someone looks you up, you know, they won't be able to get your details. It's a really good location to buy a domain name. I prefer that over a GoDaddy or a Bluehost or something like that.
Okay. How are your clients keeping up with the yearly fees and like the renewals for things like domain? Because sometimes you forget, like, oh, it's been a year and my domain is going to renew. Do you suggest that if we're going to be in business for a while, we just buy it for 3 or 5 years? Or like, what is your suggestion there?
Yeah, such a good question. Because once you lose that domain, sometimes it's really hard to get it back. I always tell my clients to, and it's usually less expensive if you extend out the years. So I typically say buy for the next 3 years and set up auto renewal. Make sure that it will auto renew. And the third thing I like to say is set a reminder on your Google Calendar so that you know when the renewal is coming up. Because again, sometimes you update your email address, sometimes email goes to spam, like things always happen. And if you miss that renewal notice, your website won't work. And most likely your email won't work either because it's attached to that domain. So it is really important to make sure that the renewals are actually taking place.
Yeah, that's such a good tip. I love the Google Calendar tip. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about like the nuts and bolts of actually creating the website. So we have the domain. We talked a little bit about the platform that we want to have the website on. We know we need a brand. We have our photos. We have our copy. So let's talk about building the actual website. So share with us all of the things as far as like how many pages do you think a website should be? What are the main pages that you feel like a website should have, and some like good tips for starting us off when we're actually ready to build?
Sure. I don't think that there is like a number of pages that you have to have. I think it corresponds to your goal. So you need to, first of all, understand what is the actual goal of your website. For example, for a service provider, what is the first step in your sales process? For me, it's to fill out a form. For others, it might be to schedule a consultation call to kind of get in your sales funnel. Thinking about what is that goal of the website. Once you have that, then you want to kind of think of what pages do you want to appear on the site that will represent and support that goal. Sometimes for the people starting out, I suggest a single page website. I think that a single page could be more than enough. You know, you don't have to get bogged down with creating a full 5-page website. Typically on the homepage, when someone lands on your homepage, you have less than 3 seconds to capture their attention. So you want to make it really clear that it says who you are, how you help someone, and that call to action, how they take the next step with you. And along with that copy, I like to have a picture of you in action. So that call to action would be, what is that first step in your sales process, driving people to that call to action? That's what I recommend for kind of the landing page. And as far as what else you want to include, you want to include some information about you. So if you are doing a single page website, you will have a short little bio about you, but not using the word I, using the word you and speaking to your ideal client. Or you could create an about page that has that. You also want to share information about your services. So, you know, a little bit about the different services you offer. And that could be, again, just a section on your homepage, or it could be an actual page in of itself. And then the next thing you want to include is testimonials, social proof. We find comfort understanding that someone has kind of done what we want to do and has had success with it. So it's really important to include testimonials on your website as well. And then the final piece would be how to get in touch with you. So, you know, where are we sending people to fill out that form, to schedule a consultation, to buy a product, buy a course, you know, that call to action, how to contact you would be the final piece that you want to include.
Okay. I've seen people do testimonials a few different ways. Like sometimes it seems like it scrolls from maybe like the Google My Business profile. And then other times there's like YouTube videos of people like giving testimonials. And so it's kind of like a playlist of all of these YouTube videos. And then I've also seen like screenshot photos that seems like there might be from like social media or maybe inside of Facebook groups. Do you think it matters, or do you think there's a more powerful of the three way to display testimonials, or maybe even a way that I didn't name?
Oh, I love all the different ways. I think it's just okay. The most important piece is that you have some, because, you know, those screenshots, okay, people can relate to them, but then there are also others who really love to see video. And when you see video on a website, sometimes your visitors kind of linger longer. And so it increases your, you know, that all the Google goodness there. So I think kind of depends on what you have, what you can pull from, but just making sure that you actually have social proof, that's the most important piece.
Okay. Okay, awesome. So it sounds like we need to capture people's attention. So we need to have a photo that's amazing. We also need to speak to them directly, letting them know that they're in the right place, that we can help them, and how we can help them. It sounds like it's okay for us to talk about ourselves. Don't use the word I, and don't make it too lengthy. And it sounds like we also need to have some sort of social proof, so some sort of testimonial in a way for people to get in touch with us. We can do this on one page, or we can do this on multiple pages.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What are your thoughts about blogs? Like, in 2023, is blogging really necessary in order to have your website rank on the first page of Google and keep your website relevant so people can find you and Google can push traffic and potential clients to you? So for those of us who like don't want to blog and have been told a million times that you have to blog to get clients as a service-based entrepreneur, what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. Good question. I love blogging. And I think that it is such a big piece of the puzzle. Not only, you know, does it help with your overall search strategy, like you said, increasing your search engine rankings, but it positions you as an expert and a leader in your field. And it kind of considers itself like a resource bank that you can share with clients. So blogging is always an important piece of the puzzle. That said, you know, we're talking to a lot of people who are just starting their website. And
absolutely,
it's best not to get overwhelmed with all the things. So if blogging isn't something that you can do at the moment, you can always add it on down the road at a later point in time. So I do think that blogging is important. But for most service providers, I will say typically their clients are more likely to come from networking and word of mouth and social media and things like that versus, you know, ranking number one on Google, because that takes quite a long time to actually make it happen. So blogging is wonderful, but I would say don't stress if you don't do it and it's not something that you have to do today.
Okay. What are some of the common mistakes and missteps that you see as brand new entrepreneurs start to maybe go DIY and build their own websites?
One of the missteps is not being clear on who they serve and how they can make their client's life better, and understanding what is that goal of their website. A lot of times we feel like, oh, we got to get up a website, but what's the purpose of that website? If you understand where you're trying to drive traffic to, the website becomes such more of an important tool that you can use to actually attract clients. So not really understanding where you're driving your audience to and not being clear and concise about how you can help make your client's life better. Those would be two of the big mistakes that I see more often than not. Even with entrepreneurs who've been doing it for quite a long time, you know, not being clear is a big one.
Okay, I totally agree with you that like a lot of people are getting up a website because it's like on the I opened a business to-do list and not really understanding like what the goal of the website is. So I absolutely love that. Who do you think in the industry, whether that's a celebrity or influencer, like who do you think got it right as far as their website goes? Because I want people to be able to go to someone's website and see someone who has like all of the elements that you think make a fantastic website that really speaks to the client and that meets their goal.
Sure. I think that Jenna Kutcher is a great one. You know, and she's an influencer who's been doing it. Yeah. She's been doing this for a long time though. So don't get overwhelmed because she has all the things, but she is a great example of a person, a celebrity who really knows her ideal client, who speaks directly to them, who leads the client on a journey, and she's guiding them. And she knows her calls to action, you know, to sign up for her freebies and, you know, to do her course and things like that. So it's a really good example for what you could achieve if you've been in business for a while.
I'm glad you mentioned freebies because I meant to ask you that as well. So depending on the type of business you have, let's speak specifically to local service-based entrepreneurs. Do you feel like lead magnets, opt-ins, or freebies are something that people should consider adding to their website, even if they are local service-based entrepreneurs and not like online business owners with a global reach?
I absolutely believe in the opt-in. I call them an irresistible freebie. It's part of your overall strategy. It's building that know, like, and trust factor. Because many times, even with a local-based company, someone will come to your website, they'll read about you. Maybe they're not ready. Maybe they don't need your services at the moment. But they're going to leave, and chances are they're going to forget about you. And if you had that freebie, you know, they'll give you their email address, you will send them information over email, continue that conversation. And then one day when they have a specific problem that you'll solve, that you'll be in the inbox recommending a solution. And they'll say, oh, that's right. And so they're more likely to reach out to you at that point in time. So I think incorporating a freebie is an important strategy with your website design.
Okay. And for people who may not have heard of like a lead magnet or irresistible freebie, give people an example of a time when they may have been caught by a lead magnet and didn't even realize it.
Well, for me, I have a website personality test, actually. That's my freebie. So it's a little quiz that you go through. And then at the end, you give your email address, and then you'll get the results. And so that's a freebie that, oh, yeah, like you gave your email and then I can email you. And so that's an example of an irresistible freebie.
I love that one. Yeah. So for me, the last time I was caught by an irresistible lead magnet, I think that I was shopping maybe for clothes or shoes or something of that nature. They ask for your name and for your email if you want to get 20% off your order. They'll email you a coupon code. So that's another example of people catching you with like a lead magnet or irresistible freebie to get you on their email list so they can continue to communicate with you, whether you purchase there or purchase in the future. Let me ask you this. As far as not having a website at all, what do you think about people who want to start their business and maybe because they are going to find clients through networking or word of mouth or personal relationships, they don't want to invest in a website at this moment? What would you say to those people?
I would say that your website is the only place in the online world that you actually own. Social media is all borrowed, and it's a place where we can control the narrative. So if you're just starting out, I would encourage, even like I shared earlier, a single page website that is professional, that you can refer people to. It lends so much credibility to you and your brand. And again, like I said, if you're building that business on social and then Instagram's down or, you know, things like that, you don't actually own anything in those platforms. So it's really important to actually own a place on the interwebs that is yours and you can send people to.
Okay. And for people who maybe don't want to build their website themselves, because like me, I'm allergic to building websites. I'm willing to pay like whatever it costs to have somebody else do it, because I was the person who tried to build my first website on WordPress and it was just a very traumatic experience for me. So for people who are like, you know what, I would rather just pay to outsource this to somebody who is a professional. Can you give like a range of what you think like a really good like first time website would cost someone? I know that it's probably like buying a car and asking like how much does a car cost? Like it depends on so many factors, but if you could give like some tips as far as like finding a good pricing sweet spot.
Sure. I think, like you said, it really depends on who you work with and what their focus is. You know, there are a lot of people who can put up a website very inexpensively, but is there a strategy behind it? And are you directing people to do the right thing on the website? Like, what's the whole point of it? For me, to give you an idea, I work with a lot of starting out entrepreneurs who just need a single page website. And that's around $2,500 for me. A lot of times I would say like around that range would be a good place for either a really high quality strategic single page website or a smaller, you know, 3 to 4 page website that's a little bit more bare bones. But around that ballpark, I would say would be a good place to start.
Okay. And for people who may have already put up a website that they built themselves and they're ready to hire a professional. So at this point, you're just editing something that somebody else already built upon. Do you think it's the same range as starting a brand new website from scratch? Or do you think it's a little bit lower or a little bit higher? What have you seen there?
Typically, a lot of web designers won't work with what you have. It's even though like you're kind of working with what you have, it's a new website. And so when someone comes to you that has done their own website, it's usually a redesign. It's just more cost effective in the long run and more strategic. So around, you know, for a redesign, I would say anywhere from 5 to 6,000 for a website redesign for that entrepreneur who did it themselves, but is ready to kind of up level and build something a little bit more strategic.
Oh, got it. Okay. So you might as well start over from scratch then at that point. Okay. So let me ask you this. How often do you think people should update their websites, right? Because I feel like sometimes you put it up and it's kind of like set it and forget it. So you mentioned earlier that as you grow in business, you should go ahead and maybe add a blog, or maybe you want to add an irresistible freebie later on. So how often do you think people should come back and revisit their websites to make those tweaks?
I recommend at least every quarter to revisit your website, make sure that you're still driving people to your current goal, because goals can change. You know, maybe at one point you wanted strategy calls or consultation calls, but now you want people to buy a course or purchase a product. So just revisiting at least every quarter would be my suggestion to someone who has their own website.
Okay. Yeah. A 3-month revisit is super fair and super, super doable. Sorry. What do you think about what people need to look for as far as like a website audit to see some of the things that they need to review and possibly tweak, right? So I know like sometimes websites will give you data as far as like how many visitors you've had. Maybe like Google Analytics will tell you how many visitors you've had, or what's the bounce rate on a website, or how long the sessions are for visitors. Like, what do you think are some of the analytics that we should review and some of the things we should consider changing depending on what those analytics are trying to tell us?
Two good analytics would be the first one, to understand where your traffic's coming from, your acquisition sources. You know, is it coming from Instagram or Pinterest? And if you're spending time on Instagram and you're seeing more from Pinterest, maybe, you know, your time is better spent there. And then the second one I always suggest is the exit page. So understanding where people are actually leaving your website from, and then going to that page and looking to see, can you make it a little bit more strategic? Is there a way to extend the visitor's journey and guide them to the next step in your process from that page? So those would be two good analytics to look at.
Okay, I love that. Any tips, advice, or resources that you feel like would be helpful for people? Anything like I didn't ask you that you wish I would have that we can get to now?
No, I think we shared a lot. I think it's just about being true and authentic to yourself online, representing your brand in a way that connects with your visitors, and just understanding what is that overall goal of your website, and then driving people to take that action that you want them to complete.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that that's fantastic advice. This was such a good conversation. For people that do want to dive deeper and are ready to take the next step with developing their website, can you tell everybody like where to find you online and anything that you have that you can offer them that would support them in their goal?
Sure. You can find me online at jennybdesigns.com. And I have a great freebie there, The Secrets to a Money-Making Homepage. I share 6 ways that you can kind of up-level your homepage to make more money with it. As well, you could also find me on Instagram at TheJennyBDesigns, and I try to share fun reels and educational how-to tips for a lot of my entrepreneurs over there as well.
Awesome. Jenny, thank you so much for your time, for your expertise, and for sharing with everyone how they can go ahead and get their first website up and running. It's been so fun, and it's been so many gems dropped. I know so many people will get a lot of value out of this episode, so thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeriel. I appreciate it.
All right, everyone. We will see you in the next episode. Bye for now.